turn, please, to the book of Matthew, chapter 28. Matthew, chapter 28. Going to read this morning, verse 16 through verse 20. Verse 20 will be our text, the Lord willing. Matthew 28, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Not too long ago, I received an email from one of our missionaries who listed this quote that I'm going to give you at the end of his letter. And it's a quote from Leonard Ravenhill, taken from a message on revival. And it reads this way: What God wants is not to fill up empty pews. He is not concerned about filling empty churches. He is concerned about filling empty hearts and empty lives and empty eyes that have no vision, empty hearts that have no passion, and empty wills that have no purpose. End of quote. And God spoke to my heart through those words. Got me to thinking. Those thoughts generated the message that I have for you today. Why do we do what we do? Is it for filled pews in a filled church building? What is the purpose of this church? Why do we exist? Now, we have read in our passage a Great Commission, which is given to the Lord's churches. Now, the first two aspects have little doubt, although we might not be doing all that we can to accomplish them. The last one, however, is the rub. I want to speak to you today what I've entitled this message as discipleship. Talk to you about discipleship. And the question is, do we make a difference in people's lives? Are we in the entertainment, feel-good, fuzzy, warm-feeling business? Or are Christians drawn closer to the Lord? Are empty hearts filled? Are empty eyes seeing a vision? Do empty lives find meaning and purpose? I submit unto you, my friend, that part of the purpose of this church is to disciple those who believe and who are baptized, so that they would observe all things whatsoever Jesus has commanded them. That's what we find in verse 20, that first part of the text. I want to talk to you about discipleship. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity and the privilege of being in your house. Thank you for those who are here. And Lord, just speak to our hearts by your Spirit, move in every one of us. And Lord, for those of us who are saved, that we might rejoice in you, that we would honor you, we glorify you, we worship you this morning, and you'd hear our prayers, and you've heard our praise. And Lord, as we attend to your word, we pray that you would use that to speak to our hearts, that we would be more in the image of Jesus Christ, that we'd be found faithful. Lord, may we be the disciples you'd have us to be. And we ask if there's anyone here today that is lost, that you would convict them of their sin and draw them to Jesus. Grant unto them repentance and faith that they would be saved even today. We pray for the sick and afflicted that cannot be with us, that you would watch over them and heal them and raise them up. We commit this time to you today. I pray that you'd speak through me and use me, hide me behind the cross, that, Lord, that which is said would be honoring to you. Lord, speak to our hearts, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Discipleship. Verse 20, it says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. That is discipleship, by the way. Now, what we have in our text, when we read from verse 16 down through verse 20, but specifically, in verse 19 and verse 20, we have what's called the Great Commission. He called his 11 together. He called that little church together. And he says, I'm going to give you a commission. These are your marching orders. And this is what I want you to do. And this is what you need to do. And that is the continued marching orders of the churches in our society yet today. It can basically consist of three parts. You'll see in the text, he says, Go ye therefore and teach all nations. And that is, we are to make disciples of people. We are to evangelize. The second part is, then those who are saved need to be baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. That's scriptural baptism, that's immersion in water, representing the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we are to make disciples, we are to evangelize, and then we are to baptize. And then that third aspect, which we sometimes have trouble with, is the matter of discipleship, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. A part of our church's mission statement is this, and I quote it to you. He said, we endeavor to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with anyone, anywhere. We should then direct those who believe to follow their Lord in scriptural water baptism, after which we should instruct them in the doctrines of Jesus and practical Christianity. And that third item is discipleship. All three of those things are important, and every church of the Lord Jesus Christ ought to be interested in all three aspects of the Great Commission: sharing the gospel, evangelizing, sending missionaries, local evangelism, you name it. Sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, then those who are saved need to be baptized, and then it's the church's responsibility to teach, to train, to disciple those people who've professed and who have been baptized. And so it's not a matter of, oh well, we get them saved and then we just leave them out like a fish out of water on the beach and let them flop around. It's not that whatsoever. When God saves a person, the church needs to step up and be a mentor. We want people to be discipled. And so we think about discipleship. In order to do that, I've given you a very brief introduction or a background on the Great Commission. I have really just one main thorough text of a message, but we're going to slide then from the text and make some application. But I want to talk to you for a moment about church and discipleship, and it's going to be rooted right here in our text. We see in verse 20, notice the statement again of which we are concerned with today, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. This is a statement about discipleship. The church and discipleship, what is our orders concerning that? Well, it's right here in the phrase. Let me submit unto you in the first place, the idea begins and concerns Jesus Christ. Notice it says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. I, that's Jesus Christ speaking to his disciples. The concern is, who is Jesus and what his desire is, what his will is. And you know what? We don't make disciples so that we can, you know, we're just filling the church and I'm getting a name after myself and they're my disciples. That's not that at all. It's not for you to get disciples after you. You're not to pattern your life after me or after this church. You're to pattern your life after Jesus Christ. Jesus says that I'm the one. He said, I want you to teach them what I have commanded them. And so my concern is, what does Jesus want of me? Your concern ought to be, what does Jesus want of me? This matter of discipleship begins with the Lord Jesus Christ. After all, he is the one who saved us, and he is the one who gave us eternal life, and we are become his disciples, and so we need to be following after him. Now, secondly, this matter of discipleship relates to his will, because you see that phrase, he says, what I have commanded. What God is interested in, what the Lord Jesus Christ desires. That's the key. That's the ticket. My concern is, God, what do you want? Your concern should be, what does God want? That's the idea. It begins with Jesus. It relates to his will. And then thirdly, it also involves all aspects of that will, because he says, all things whatsoever. You know, as Christians, we really don't have the right to pick and choose. And I've met some people that do that. You know, they read the Bible and they say, well, I like that and I'm going to apply that. And I don't like that so much. I'm not going to listen to that. And that, well, you know, I might do it later, but not right now. And we have the tendency to pick and choose what we want to follow and how we want to obey and be a disciple of Jesus Christ. We as a church are to teach and to train all those who are here to be disciples. And it's whatsoever he has commanded. Whatsoever he has commanded us. So it involves every aspect of God's will. Paul in his ministry made a statement in regard to those folk. He says, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. I mean, he preached every aspect. And it seems like anymore that some churches, I don't say all, we certainly don't lump everybody into one group, but some churches, you know what, they're very narrow in what they speak. They literally ride one horse, and they don't go off of that very much. And we find in our society churches that are afraid to say anything about certain things because, well, they don't want to offend these people. They want to be seeker-friendly and all kinds of things. Well, you know the truth. We have the Word of God before us, and it's our responsibility to declare all of it. And that may not be popular. You may not like the message sometime. You might go out and say, preacher, you quit preaching and done went to meddling. Well, you know, that's going to happen if we're going to speak everything that Christ has taught us. And so we want to disciple. And that's going to involve every aspect of whatever He has commanded us. And then in the fourth sense, you'll look at this phrase, it regards professing Christians. Who is it that ought to be disciples? He said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Teaching them. Who are the them? It was those people who've been evangelized back in verse 19 where it says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Well, then when they're saved, they're baptized, and then they need to be trained. They need to be disciples. It regards professing Christians. And so if you're here today as a member of Grace Memorial Baptist Church, you made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ, we believe you've been scripturally baptized, then we want to teach you, we want to train you, we want you to be like Jesus Christ. We want to do all that we can so that you will be a disciple of God and be obedient to everything that He has commanded us. That really is the heartbeat of what we want to do here. All three of those are important. We're focusing on discipleship today. So what do we see in this passage? We see Christ as the object, and we see those people who are saved need to respond to that object, and we need to be obedient to everything which He has commanded us. And so really, what is that third aspect of the commission? Verse 20, once again, the first part of the verse, the action which the church should take is this, teaching them to observe all things. Teaching them to observe. Part of the responsibility of this church is to do exactly that. We want to teach you to observe. The word teach is a very common term in the New Testament. It's a word for teach, translated teach, in just about most of the time. But it is the idea of to teach or to speak in public. It is addressing a public assembly. It is a matter of directing or admonishing. You know what teaching is. And so he says we are to teach them to observe. Now that word observe, however, the word means to keep watch upon. Now listen very carefully. It is to guard, to mark attentively, to heed, to observe or to keep strictly. This word's used a great number of times in the New Testament scriptures. In fact, the word that's found here translated in our text, to observe, is used 73 times in the New Testament. We're not going to give you all 73 references. But in Matthew chapter 27, listen to how it's applied. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 36, as the crowd watched Jesus on the cross, they were observing Him. That's this word, to keep watch upon, to mark attentively, to observe, to keep strictly. The word refers to also to security guards or watchmen. The guards at the tomb were called keepers in Matthew chapter 28. Verse 4. It's the same word. It is translated as keep or kept 55 of those 73 times, such as in John chapter 14 and verse 15, where Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's this word, observe, so you get an idea. Also, in the matter of being kept, it's translated in these passages. Remember, Peter was kept in prison in Acts 12. Or Paul was kept at Caesarea in chapter 25 of the book of Acts, verse 4. Well, they were in prison, but they were being watched, weren't they? They were being guarded. Somebody was paying attention to them. And one other aspect, when you think about this word to observe, and I hope you're picking up on the nuances, it's just not a matter of looking at and then not really paying much attention to. But I mean, as a watchman is responsible to watch, he pays attention, he's alert, he's on guard. And these people who are kept, that's the idea. One other reference where this word is used, but it's translated as the word reserve. Listen, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, You know, the scripture says that our inheritance is reserved in heaven. Reserved in heaven. That's that word observe here. It is that word keep or kept. Are you really concerned about losing your inheritance in heaven? None whatsoever, are you? Why? Because it's reserved. And that's this word observe in the text. So we see in the passage the action which the church is to take is to teach them to observe. It's just not a matter of tossing it out there and, oh, well, it makes no difference. We want you to observe. God wants us to observe. And so let's think about this for just a moment, some things that come from the definition of this phrase, teach them to observe. I would submit unto you that it's going to be both public and private instruction. Not everything that we can do will come from the pulpit. It can come from the Sunday school class as well. It can come on a one-to-one personal basis, private Bible studies, interaction. But it's a matter of we want to teach you to observe all things whatsoever He has commanded us. And so it could be public or private, but it's instruction. That also leads us to understand that there's going to be a teacher and there's going to be a student. And you may not be the best or the brightest teacher, but it's kind of like in Star Wars where they said there was always, you know, whenever there's a master, there's a Padawan, you know? And it's the idea. If there's going to be some teaching going on, there's going to be a teacher and there's going to be a student. And so we need to teach, and so there are going to be students. And there's also going to be a particular curriculum. What is it? If we're going to obey this, if our church is going to obey, that we want to teach all disciples, the people that are here, to observe all things whatsoever Christ has commanded us, what curriculum will we use? We're going to use the Bible, aren't we? We want to know what God says. We want to know what the Lord has for us. Our textbook is the Word of God. Now, I'm not meaning to say you can't use other books like Sunday school books and things like that that might bear out some lessons and ideas and plans in regard to the Bible. But you know what the textbook is here at Grace Memorial Baptist Church? It is the Bible itself. Thus saith the Lord, the Word of God. This is our textbook. You want to know what Jesus had to say? Look into the book. You want to observe whatever He has taught us? Look into the book. And so we have to keep in mind this is our textbook. Four things derive out of this. In summary, I guess I could express it in this way. If we're going to teach them to observe, if we're going to teach people to observe, things must be known. Now, that's what you want to do, right? When you teach, you toss things out. I would use the word exposure. Yeah, if you go to the high schools in this town or the elementary schools or any of the lower classes, you know what they do? They're teaching. In the lower classes, it may be colors, it may be 1, 2, 3, and simple verbs and things like that. See Dick run and see Jane run and spot and all that kind of thing. Well, I guess they still have that. They did when I was a kid. But we heard a lot about spot. I don't know if spot's still going or not, but you know, that's what they teach, right? They expose the children to these things. Science, math, English, it doesn't matter. History, geography. You get into college, you take a specific thing, you're exposed to that information. That's the idea. If we want to teach people to observe, you know, we have to expose them to the things of God. And if we don't ever talk about it, if we don't ever say anything, and we just ride one horse, then there's going to be a whole lot of horses that never get ridden. There has to be exposure, doesn't there? And then the things must be understood. Not only does it have to be known, it has to be understood. You have to understand it, get a grasp of what's being said. I trust that I speak a simple enough English, although it might have a tint of Northern Yankee view to it. I trust I speak clear enough English. You can understand what I say. We want that because the Bible must be exposed and then it must be explained. And that's what teaching them to observe all things is. We want to expose you to the truth. We want to explain the truth to you. And then in the third aspect, I believe that things must be demonstrated. If we're going to teach people to observe, things must be demonstrated. Paul told Timothy to be an example to the believers. Be an example. And so I would use the word exemplified. We want a teacher needs to go by what they teach, right? You expect me as a preacher to go by what I preach. And if I'm going to teach you all things whatsoever Christ has commanded, you would expect me to follow those things as well. Now, none of us are perfect. I'm not a perfect preacher. You're not a perfect parishioner. But you know what you expect, don't you? that it would be exemplified. And then if we're going to teach them to observe all things, I believe then it certainly must be observed. And by the definition, can I use the word exercised? Put it into practice? Do something about it? And so it's just not a matter of, okay, I've heard, I understand exactly what you say, but, you know, I really don't care what Jesus wants, I'm going to do what I wish. That would be an improper response on my behalf, and it would be certainly an improper response on your behalf as well. It's a matter of, if we want to, as children of God, to be discipled, we need to observe everything which He has commanded us. And the church's responsibility is to assist us in doing so, that we might learn, that we might grow. Now, implied in this matter of teaching to them to observe, implied, I just come to the conclusion that, you know, there's instruction with learning. That's the point of it, isn't it? We want to teach you the Word of God. We want to take the Word of God, explain it to you. You can hear it. You can understand it. You can put it into practice in your life. We want to instruct. Whether it's in the Sunday school or any preaching service, whether it's in a Bible study, whether it's a one-on-one basis, we're just standing around chatting. We want to learn. We want to grow. So we want instruction with learning. But with that in mind, we have to always be aware that people are at various levels of instruction. Isn't that true? I already made a discussion in reference to the like high school or elementary education as opposed to a college education or even a graduate degree. There are people at different levels of instruction. And if there are people at different levels of instruction, then we have to make the application of those things to the various stages. In other words, it's the church's responsibility to teach them to observe. But I'm not going to talk to a kindergarten class the same way I'm going to talk to adult class. I'm not going to try to get certain things across to them in the same fashion I will to an older class. I need to adapt the message to the grade or the level of learning of which I'm speaking to. And that really is one of the challenges of preaching, because when you have a congregation, it's mixed up with all sorts of people at different stages of their Christian walk and Christian life, and their places of discipleship. Then you have somebody that is really strong in discipleship. You have some who are very weak in discipleship. And it doesn't matter whether they've been saved a long time or a short time. We're at different levels of maturity. And to preach a message that would hit every level is not always the easiest thing to do, because you want to be as simple enough for the youngest babe in Christ to grasp the message and to learn and to grow. But you want to be complex enough to give the meat, to teach, and to train those who've already heard the stuff over and over and over. And so we want to teach, we want to train, we want to apply it to every level if we can. The purpose is we want to see a demonstration of growth and maturity. You know, our children, we had two boys, and you know what? They came forth just like every other child, just little babies, and we've expected them to grow. And boy, they have, haven't they? And what a blessing. We're glad that God's watched over them. We're glad that God has blessed them. We're glad they're healthy. But both of them are taller than I am now. And you know what? I'm glad for growth. I'm glad for maturity. That's what you expect. And you know, as a Christian today, God expects you to grow. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. I mean, if you've been saved for 25 years and you're not much more advanced in the spiritual things of the Lord than you were after the first 6 months, you haven't grown very much. You're kind of stunted. You dwarfed it in your Christianity. You need to seek the Lord. You need to be discipled because you want to grow. You want to develop. You want to mature. We want to teach so that you might be able to observe. We want you to grow. And then I would submit unto you, the real desire is, in the end, we want the students to be transformed into teachers. Students to be transformed into teachers. You say, well, is there any biblical precedence for that whatsoever? Oh, well, you know, in Hebrews chapter 5 and in verse 12, the rebuke and the complaint that comes from the author of Hebrews by the Holy Spirit, the complaint is, for when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again. My friend, you want to grow in Christ. You want to mature. You ought to strive not to always be the student, but to strive to be a teacher so that you can help other people observe. That's the point. That's the idea. We want to observe all things whatsoever Christ has commanded us, so that we move from infanthood and the matter of youth to adulthood and maturity, where we can help others. And so we see in the text very clearly the third aspect of the Great Commission is to teach them to observe all things whatsoever Christ has commanded. That's it, isn't it? And that means it's this church's obligation. It is this church's duty to do that very thing. And it is one of the purposes of this church's existence. The other two are up ahead, evangelism and baptism. And the only other purpose for this church is to teach those who have been saved and baptized to observe all things, what Christ has commanded us. And so our goal is that each person who professes Christ would be exactly what Jesus wants them to be. That's our goal. Now that's the church and discipleship. Let me then address for a few moments the matter of the church's emphasis. And I know if you're following along in the bulletin, you think, man, we're going to be here till 2 o'clock. But I want to surprise you. The church's emphasis. Let me say unto you, if we're thinking about church and discipleship and our responsibility is to teach them to observe all things whatsoever He has commanded us, the church's emphasis is not just fun and games. The church's emphasis is not a place of recreation. This is not a place for a social gathering. This is not a business forum. The church is not the cure for social ills and agenda. Now, don't misunderstand me. There's nothing wrong with those kind of things. I like fun and games. I enjoy activity. I like recreation. But that's not the primary focus of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The church's commission is not to have just all recreation. That is not the point. The point is to teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. It's not social gathering. I like fellowship. I think Christian fellowship is important. But the most important thing isn't that I get together and fellowship with one another. The most important thing is that we're being discipled and that we're responding like Jesus would have us to respond. Some churches are a place of that business contacts are made, and that's the reason why people go. They go because of business. And, you know, if I go here, I got these people that will come to my business, or I can make these connections. You know what? If that's your primary focus in church, you've done missed it. And if that's the church's primary attitude, they've missed it. Our responsibility is to teach people to observe everything what Christ has commanded. And the fun and games are secondary. The recreation is secondary. And you know, the curing social ills and all the things that we can do in our society, nothing wrong with those. We can help people. We can help the poor. And we can help the sick. Nothing wrong with that. But that's not the primary purpose of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The primary purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ is to preach the gospel to every creature, baptize those who are saved, and then teach them to walk like Jesus Christ. That really is the purpose. Some churches, not all, some churches, they focus only on curing social ills. And they call it the social gospel. And they'll spend tons of money going into foreign countries, taking medicine and doctors and all that, but they never give them the gospel. That makes no sense to me. If you're going to be there and you got these people and they're requesting these social responses, at least give them the gospel. My brother worked for many years in the gospel mission in the city of Dayton. And they required those people before they feed them dinner, they had to sit through a sermon. Maybe we should do... Oh, no. Start feeding people and make them hear a message. That's what they did. I think that's good. If you're going to give them some bread... Give them the bread of life. May I trust you understand in the sense of, and the sentiment of which I'm expressing. Because, you know what, I like recreation. I wish we had a gymnasium. I wish we could play in there. That'd be fun. But you know there are people that go to church only for that, and that's what it is. The church, all church is a recreation thing. That's it. And some churches, that's all they are. That's not right, is it? Now, don't walk out of here and say, the preacher said every church that has a gym and ball fields are off mark. I did not say that. Please understand where I'm coming from, but it really makes a difference on the focus and the emphasis. Is it really what we need to do is just do what we can to fill the pews? I've told you this before. All we got to do is start giving out beer. Now, I know that seems awful trite and foolish, but if our goal is to just fill the pews and get you know, standing room only, we can do it, but it won't be right. And so I see that the matter of the church is a matter of discipleship. And so a church ought not be just a self-help, feel-good, ear-tickling institution. Our purpose is not to just, every time you walk in these doors, to walk out. We want you to be different. We want you to be like Jesus Christ. That's the commission given to the church. And of course, we want to do it in the right attitude. Sometimes I've got done preaching, my wife will say, you know, you look like you were angry. Rarely am I ever angry. It's just, in the pulpit, it's just a matter of, I guess, intensity. A few areas of concern then for the church, and I do want to keep us before 2 o'clock. A few areas of concern of the church, and I know some people see it as meddling, but if we're going to teach all things whatsoever Jesus has commanded us, you know what we're going to have to do? We're going to have to talk about personal development. We're going to have to talk about who you are, how you live, the things that are going on in your life, and you might not like what the Bible has to say about some of that. We're going to have to talk about social interaction, how you live with others, how you conduct yourself within the community, who your friends are. You know, the Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate. That's not a popular statement. We're going to have to talk about civic responsibility, our involvement in the community, our action, how we represent ourselves and what we're doing in the community, and how we treat our neighbors and all that. We have to talk about those kind of things. Family matters. And some churches, you know what, that's all they talk about is family matters, which is good. It helps families, but they leave everything else off. Family matters need to be talked about. Yeah, that's going to be a husband and wife relationship. That's going to be a child-parent relationship. That's going to be a sibling relationship or extended family relationship. We have to take what God says and say, okay, this is what the Bible says, and this is how you need to respond. So children, you honor your father and your mother. That's part of it. And if the child doesn't like the message, they don't like the message. But we have to say it, don't we? Because this is what Christ has commanded us. The matter of moral integrity. We have to take a stand. We have to say, you know what, there are things right and there are things that are wrong. And what I find in our society anymore, is, and we see this with this inclusive perspective, is there's nothing wrong. There's no right, there's no wrong. And it's, you just believe however you want. It's a moral issue. And the fact is, there are a lot of things being accepted today on a political agenda, and the truth is, it's immoral. And Christ is against it, and God is against it. And you say, well, that's offensive. I know it's offensive, but we still have to say that is immoral. Moral integrity. We have to talk about church relationships, your involvement in church, your relationship with one another, how we respond to each other within the church, what the church believes, how we practice. We have to talk about spiritual response, spiritual growth, spiritual maturity. The whole matter of discipleship, isn't all that wrapped up in that? So we have to touch on many areas. And so as we go through the Scripture, and I just preach what God lays upon my heart to speak on, and when I go through books of the Bible, and I like going through books of the Bible because you have to deal with what's next. And I've talked to several preachers, one that I was under when I was in college, who said, you know, the thing about preaching through the book of the Bible is, what you often find is when you get to a certain text that applies to a certain situation in your church, no one can accuse you of jumping on that. Because you've just been going all along all the way. And then all of a sudden you hit that point and it applies to these people. And they can't walk out and say, well, you're picking on me. Well, you can't. You've been preaching through the book for 6 months. And so then you hit a particular thing. That's a good thing. Whatsoever he has commanded us, we have to talk about those things. Spiritual response, spiritual growth and maturity. And so the church has to be concerned about many areas as God has revealed it in his word. And so what I've given you, if you look in the bulletin, you see a great big list there. And it's not all of them that I have, by the way. But we're not going to look at every verse. I'm not going to scare you with that. But I'm going to give you very quickly a moderate list of concerns towards spiritual maturity. These are things that we need to preach on, talk about, declare. And this certainly isn't everything. We just want to touch and give you some ideas of being a disciple. You know what? You need to be obedient. John 14:15 said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Be obedient. We have to talk about that. Being filled. Ephesians 5:18 says, be filled with the Spirit. We need to be knowledgeable. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show yourself approved. And so it's right for me to stand up and say, you know what? Have you read your Bible lately? Are you looking at the Word of God? Do you care about it? Be knowledgeable. Be praying. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Be witnessing. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, we're ambassadors. We need to be a witness for Jesus Christ. Matthew 5 talks about how we're salt and light in the world. We have to be concerned about that because that's what Christ wants. We need to be giving, and I'm talking about money here, giving. Malachi 3, I know that's Old Testament, but we need to give to the storehouse. Well, over in 1 Corinthians 16:2, it says, let every one of you lay by him in store. You ought to give. You ought to. And then people say, well, you ought not preach on money, and it offends people. I don't preach on money very much. Maybe once a year, maybe twice. But you know what? I still have to touch on it, don't I? It's part of it. You need to be doing whatever God has commanded. You know, you need to be attending. I'm talking about the services of the Lord. You know, Hebrews 10 says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. You need to be interested in coming to the Lord's house. You need to be holy. 1 Peter 1 talks about we need to be holy because He is holy. You need to be thinking. Paul said in Philippians 4, verse 8, whatsoever is good, whatsoever is lovely, and honest report, things like that. I don't remember the text right now, but Philippians 4, 8, you need to be thinking on those kind of things. We need to be encouraging. Over in Romans chapter 14 and verse 19, we are to edify one another. You know, it's not my purpose to kick you down and beat you down and stomp you in the dirt. That's not the point at all. We want to edify one another, help one another. We need to be comforting. 2 Corinthians 1, 4 says that we need to comfort one another. Romans 15 says that we need to be admonishing one another. And so we not only encourage, but we ought to, sometimes you have to give a word of warning, just a friendly word of advice. Listen, you're going the wrong way. I want to help you. We need to be faithful. 1 Corinthians 4 talks about stewards need to be faithful. Ephesians 4:32 talks about being forgiving. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, be steadfast, unmovable. I'll tell you, we need to be responsible. We need to be dependable. Galatians 5:16 says we need to walk in the Spirit, so we need to be Holy Spirit led. And you know what it says in John 13:34? He says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. We need to be loving. Now, I just ran through 18 things very quick. You know, those things we need to talk about. Things that we'll express from message to message to message. We're going to have to cross those things. And I know it's not popular sometimes, but it needs to be addressed. So you see the idea of the church and discipleship. And you see the emphasis of the church is this matter of, okay, we need to preach the gospel, people are saved, then we baptize those converts, and we need to teach them to observe. Teach them to observe. And so in conclusion, let me say this. I have just a few things and I'm done. Number one, part of the reason of this church's existence is to teach believers to observe all things which Jesus taught us. That's why we're here. Number two, we must be concerned. We must take an interest in one another. We must assist one another along this way. I want you to be what Jesus wants you to be, and you should want me to be what Jesus wants me to be. We must, number three, we must teach them to observe all things. That's what we have to do. That's what we need to do. Teach to observe all things. Let me give you a very quick illustration. Chad has his learner's permit. We're teaching him to drive. We're trying to. And we give him practice. We give him instruction. We try to teach him the rules of the road. I teach him. I hammer on him being aware and being alert. I tell him to watch everything. I mean, when you drive, you really do just have to keep looking and all that. And I've told him that two main things will get him in a wreck quicker than anything. One is being in a hurry, and the second is not paying attention. You want to get in a wreck, get in a hurry, and don't pay attention. You're going to be in a wreck. It'll happen. So we try to teach him. What are we trying to teach him? Basically, we're trying to teach him to observe all things. You want to be a good driver, you need to, and that means in the middle of the night, 3 in the morning, right, the stoplight's red, you just don't zoom through it because there isn't anybody there. If you're going to observe the law, you're going to stop at that stoplight even though nobody's around forever because you're going to obey that law. That's observing the laws of the land. You know, I made to think of a text over in Psalm 119, verse 9 through verse 11. It says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. That's teaching them to observe all things. Observe. I've hidden your word in my heart. God, I want to be obedient to you. I want to take heed according to thy word. So let me ask you this. Number four. Will you do all that you can to assist this church in fulfilling the purpose? We want to disciple people. Will you do all that you can to assist that? Then number five, let me ask, what is it we can do to help you be discipled? Let us know if there's a need. Let us know how we can better help you. We want our membership to grow. We want you to observe all things. And so let us know what we can do to help so that you can be more like Jesus would have you to be. And the last thing is this, and I'm done. Perhaps your main concern today is you're lost, and your interest is in the first part of that commission. You see, you're not saved. You need to be a disciple first. And so if that is the case, I point you to Jesus, because he's the Savior. Without him, you cannot get to heaven. Christ died on a cross for sinners, who buried and risen again. He gives eternal life to all who believe. Would you repent today and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Would you trust him? Would you be saved today? And then after he makes you a disciple, would you be discipled? Would you desire to learn and to grow and to mature and develop so that one day you can be a teacher to teach others how to be like Christ? I'd like for us to stand. Brother Paul, would you please come? I trust the objective of the message has been clear. You know that the purpose of this church is to, one of the aspects is to be discipling. We want to help you do that. We want you to be like Jesus. So help us help you. Let us know what we can do. Father in heaven, we thank you for the day. We ask that you would strengthen your people today. And Lord, guide our church that we would be everything you'd have us to be, so that we would teach others to observe all things whatever you have commanded us, so that we'd be like Jesus. We pray for the lost that they might be saved today. Lord, convict them and draw them to you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. What number, Brother Paul?